Some changes occur during the presentation of the stimulus so that its apparent magnitude decreases, as for exposure to bright light, or it disappears completely, as sometimes happens for olfactory stimuli. Other changes are apparent after the end of the stimulus. For example, shifts in threshold may occur. In general, such effects are much less marked in the auditory system than they are in the other sensory systems, although large threshold shifts are often observed after exposure to stimuli of very high intensity. Hood, 1950-1972, has distinguished between auditory adaptation and auditory fatigue. The essential feature of fatigue is that it results from the application of a stimulus which is usually considerably in excess of that required to sustain the normal physiological response of the receptor, and it is measured after the stimulus has been removed. Hood, 1972. For example, a subject's absolute threshold at a particular frequency might be measured, after which the subject would be exposed to a fatiguing tone of a particular frequency and intensity for a period of time. The threshold would then be measured again, and the shift in threshold would be taken as a measure of fatigue. Notice that this procedure is concerned with the effect of an excessive stimulus upon a small and finite group of receptors, namely those which are normally brought into activity at near threshold intensities. Hood, 1972. Auditory fatigue, defined in this way, is often referred to as post-stimulatory auditory fatigue, and the shift in threshold is called temporary threshold shift, TTS. Auditory adaptation has as its essential feature the process of equilibration. The response of a receptor to a steady stimulus declines as a function of time until it reaches a steady value, at which the energy expanded by the receptor is just balanced by the metabolic energy which is available to sustain it. The psychological counterpart of this is a decline in the apparent magnitude of a stimulus, for example its loudness, during the first few minutes of a presentation, followed by a period in which the apparent magnitude remains roughly constant. We will not attempt here to give a detailed account of the physiological processes involved in fatigue and adaptation, or of the factors which affect these. For a review of these, the reader is referred to Elliott and Fraser, 1970. For recent data, see Salvi and Ali, 1996. Post-stimulatory auditory fatigue. The most common index of auditory fatigue is TTS, whose measurement it was described briefly above. One problem with measuring TTS is that the recovery process may be quite rapid, so that a threshold measurement has to be obtained as quickly as possible. But this in turn can lead to inaccuracies in the measurement. A common method has been to use a motor-driven attenuator, which the subject controls so as to maintain the level of the signal as close as possible to the threshold. Sometimes continuous tones are used as signals, but since subjects often have difficulty in tracking these, pulse tones are often preferred. There are five major factors which influence the size of TTS. 1. The intensity of fatiguing stimulus. 2. The duration of the fatiguing stimulus. 3. The frequency of the fatiguing exposure stimulus. 4. The frequency of the test stimulus. 5. The time between cessation of the fatiguing stimulus and the post-exposure threshold determination, called the recovery interval. TTS generally increases with I, the intensity of the fatiguing stimulus. At low intensities, TTS changes relatively slowly as a function of I, and the TTS only occurs for test tones with frequencies FT close to FE. As I increases, the TTS increases, the frequency range over which the effect occurs increases, with the greatest increase above FE, and the frequency of the maximum TTS shifts 1/2 octave above or more above FE. At high levels, and when FT is above FE, TTS grows very rapidly as a function of I. For fatiguing intensities above about 90 or 100 dB SPL, TTS rises precipitously, and it has been suggested that this point of inflection indicates a division between fatigue, which is physiological, and transient in nature, and fatigue, which is more permanent and pathological in nature. Hood, 1950, Hirsch and Bilger, 1955. The upward frequency shift in FT, at which the maximum TTS occurs, is not fully understood, but it may be related to the property of the BM. There is evidence that the vibration envelope on the BM shifts toward the basal high frequency end with increasing amplitude of a sinusoidal stimulus. Fatigue generally increases with exposure duration, D, and a number of workers have reported that TTS is linearly related to log D. However, for low frequencies, particularly when the fatiguing stimulus is noise or rapidly interrupted tone, the growth rate is reduced, probably because of the middle ear reflex.